Praise God. Praise the Lord. I wanted to say one more thing before I introduce Mike. You know, our spiritual freedom cost Jesus his life. Our natural freedom has cost many men and women their lives. And I'd like everyone that's been in the service to stand, men and women both, serving our country. I want to honor you. Thank God you did your part. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to say a prayer over you. Please remain standing. Father, again, I want to say thank you most of all that Jesus gave his life so we have spiritual freedom. Thank you, Lord, for the many men and women that have given their lives that we can still praise and worship you freely in this country. I want to pray your blessing upon these men and women that spent years of their lives in our serving our country so that we could be free. And Father, may this freedom last, that we can win souls and do what you've called us to do, Lord. Bless these men and women today, and we do honor them and thank you for them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, Mike Huntsman, come on up here. Pastors asked him to share with us again, so God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning. How you guys doing? Oh, that was lame. How you guys doing? We're at church. This is the hopping place. This is happening. I am a little upset. The reason I agreed to this was because it was Memorial Day weekend and nobody was supposed to be here. And you guys showed up anyways. I turned around after worship and I was like, wait, hold on. I didn't sign up for this at all. But it's okay. Jesus is still good. Jesus is still on the throne. Amen. Once again, we're so happy that you guys are here, and it's amazing that Memorial Day weekend is more than just a barbecue weekend. Amen. It's really to honor our men and women that served us in such an amazing capacity with their lives, and even talking about how Donna went home to be with the Lord this last week, and how even with her she served the kingdom. She was a soldier for Jesus. Amen. And she served a good purpose, and in that, God honored that, God blessed that. And I believe that, she's singing with him right now. Amen. I always get excited about worship, too. I'm not even talking about my message yet. I always get excited about worship because, really, that's what we're going to be doing for all of eternity, just worshiping Jesus. And I remember growing up how they talk about, we just worship Jesus. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, that seems like such like a mindless drone thing, oh, we're up in heaven, we have to worship. And then when Reverend Dean was sharing about how when he was in heaven and his experience, how all of a sudden it's just kind of like this uproar would start coming and more people would start like, Jesus! And they cry out to Jesus. And it just showed me the nature of God and that it wasn't mindless drones being in heaven worshiping Jesus, but there's hearts crying out for the Lord. And in the same way, that's what we should be doing, that we can't even contain ourselves being in the presence of him. Amen? Amen. Even in worship this morning, I was overwhelmed by his presence and his goodness and how amazing he is. And that it's not just us doing something in Tacoma, Washington. Amen. As Magali began to sing, she began to sing in Spanish. And I'm raising my hands. I'm like, wait, hold on. I don't know this language. And I'm trying to follow along. I'm like, Jesus. All I know is, hola, buenos dias, and Diablo. That's all I know. So you can't sing that too much. You're like, Diablo. Doesn't go over very well. So, sorry, I'll learn Spanish eventually. I don't know when, but one day I'll learn it. And I started thinking about how amazing Jesus is. That it's not just in Washington that we're serving Jesus. It's not just in the Northwest that we're serving Jesus. It's not just in America that we're serving Jesus. But we're serving Jesus throughout the world. That it's the most happening thing. Jesus is the most happening thing across the universe. Amen? That even the rocks would cry out his name. Oh, glory. I feel like preaching this morning. Man. And it was my only missus trip we actually went on. We went with Pastor Teddy. Pastor Teddy's in the house. Can Pastor Ted and Otto stand up real quick? Come on, stand up. My youth pastors right here, Pastor Ted and Otto. Yeah. My first missus trip that I went on was to Costa Rica. And once again, I've been basically born and raised in Tacoma, you know. And so I don't know culture, you know. I get over there and I'm like, what? It's hot all the time. Like, I can't even, I have to, you know, I got to wear some clothes. I'm like, oh, God. You know, it's always hot. And we went to this church up in the mountains. Nobody around, right? We go up in this little Jeep way up in the mountains. And I'm petrified. I'm scared. It's cliffs over the side. And all they have, like, these are old just rock roads and stuff. And we go all the way up in Costa Rica in this little mountain in the middle of nowhere. And guess what we're doing? We're worshiping Jesus. And just the middle of nowhere, they don't even have hot water. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I didn't even know this was going on still in the world. It's funny because they still have two valves. I'm like, that's just a slap in the face. I go to turn on the hot valve. I'm testing it. I'm like, this thing's broken. Excuse me, your hot water's out. Hot water? What? I have to take a cold shower? Oh, man, it was a long couple weeks. But Jesus is good. Who has their Bible? Anybody have their Bible? Anybody love their Bible? Well, if you got your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 1, it says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And then if you guys got a pen, you got a highlighter, whatever, highlight this right here. Which is your reasonable service? Which is your reasonable service? And then I'll just read this because it's awesome. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray to Jesus right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, that it's living, it's active. Lord, that this isn't just something that we keep hearing over and over, but Lord, every time we open up your word, we get something new. Lord Jesus, every time we go to your word, we get to encounter you yet again. Jesus, you never seem to cease to amaze me that any time I can open up your word, I encounter you all over again. Your nature, your love, your grace, your mercy, Jesus. Your whole nature, Father, everything that you are, I can come here and I can encounter it. Lord, you're just so faithful even when I'm not faithful. Lord, you're so good even when I'm not good. And when I mess up, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you still love me the same. Jesus, you're so amazing. I'm just overwhelmed by your grace every time, Lord. We thank you for this time. We dedicate it to you. Nothing is for my boast, Lord, but it's all for you, Jesus. We thank you, we praise you in your mighty name. Amen and amen. This morning we're going to be titling this How Much? How Much? How Much? Me and my wife, we've been married for a couple years. We've been married for going on 6 years this year. Hoot hoot. She's getting hotter by the day. You know, she's like a wine. She just keeps on getting better. You know what I'm saying? As time goes on. And glory be to Jesus. And I'm like milk. You know, I just keep going getting sour and sour. And nasty. But my wife, she's amazing. So we've been married for a couple years. We're still doing this thing. We're still learning this thing that we call life. As we travel out, we've recently purchased a home a couple years ago. We bought a car right before we got married. We bought a car, and we're starting to learn about this thing called life, also known as bills and money and Diablo. You know, he's alive and active, and so we're learning about this thing called life slowly but surely. And I'm always reminded of my life growing up and with even my mom. And how we would go out to different places, and how I would always ask for something. Anybody have kids in here? Anytime you go somewhere, Mom, I just want one candy bar. It's just 50 cents. When I was a kid, it was 50 cents. Now it's like a buck 25. I'm like, Snickers isn't worth $1.25. Snickers worth 50 cents. No more. Makes me mad. Economy's dumb. What happened to the Snickers bar? But, so me and my wife, we're starting to learn. And so when I used to go out with my mom all the time, I would always ask for something. And we'd be, oh, the worst is if we went somewhere where toys were. I'm like, Mom, come on. It's only $20. Mom, it's just a little bit. It's not even a big deal. Your mom. You're rich. I saw your wallet. I saw there's $20 in there. Give me my Nerf gun. I know it's there. I saw it. Can't even lie to me. Jesus knows what you're saying. Don't lie to me. Jesus knows. Give me my Nerf gun. And my mom, she'd always, Mike, no, not now. Maybe for your birthday. My birthday? It's in like 4 months. I want it now. That's like 4 months worth of Nerf and play, you know? You know how much fun I could have in that 4 months, Mom? Give me my Nerf gun. And so I never grasped the concept of money and bills at that point. All I saw was my mom had a little bit, and I wanted it. I wanted it, Mom. I want my Snickers bar. I want my Nerf gun. I want a trampoline. So many things that I wanted. The one thing I wanted so much growing up was Power Wheels. Anybody remember Power Wheels? Only single children got Power Wheels. Because my mom knew she bought one Power Wheel, she had to buy 6 Power Wheels. And that's like 10 grand. She's like, I can't afford 10 grand. Here's a pogo stick. I don't know. I got dumb stuff. I'm just kidding. Is my mom here? Sorry, Mom. She gave me amazing things. I love my mom. And so that's the one thing I always wanted. I asked every year. I was like, Mom, I want a Power Wheel. I want to drive. I want the freedom. I want the air in my hair. I want my hair to flap. That's what I want. Get it for me. I had no concept of the dollar. I had no concept of value. I had no concept that if my mom buys me a Snickers bar, that she's going to buy everybody a Snickers bar. And then that adds up right quick when you got 6 kids. And when I was growing up, we didn't grow up super rich. I remember when it was me and 4 brothers, and then my stupid twins came along. What's up, Ben? In the back, what's up? And we were living in a 2-bedroom trailer at the time, and here comes twins. So I wasn't getting the Power Wheels. I wasn't even getting a Snickers bar. I got a PB&J, and that was it. I'll give you just enough to live, child. You're welcome. But, Mom, I want to truly live. I want the Snickers. Truly live. And so my mom... I didn't have that concept. Even at that point, you know, we weren't stinking rich. But I still wanted it. I never quite got the concept. Even when I was in my teen years and even into my adulthood years, I just wanted to spend. I just wanted to just get rid of it. That money, anybody else, that money burns a hole in your pocket. I get 20 bucks, it's gone that day. My wife, bless her heart, she rations me. Here you go, baby. Here's a 5. I'm like, all right, I'm going out on the town. $5. Give me 2 Snickers bars, sir. Count them up, 2. I'll have them both. I'm going to eat them at the same time. 1 bite. Ah. So luckily I have my wife, because before we got married, I had my own account. And I remember I didn't grasp the value of a dollar. All I knew was I had it and I needed to get rid of it. That was the point of money. I got it. And now I need to give it to somebody else. We need to just keep on blessing. You know what I'm saying? It's a good old circle. And so when I first went out on my own, that's what I did. I just went out to Applebee's like every night, which is dumb. Oh, man, I got fat so fast. Oh, it was the worst. And so I just kept spending and spending, and so my wife, she brought in the reins. Hey, we need to get a house. And I'm like, all right, we can get a house. And so I didn't fully grasp the concept of the value of a dollar. I just had to get rid of it. I had to get rid of it. I had no concept. A couple weeks back, I took my wife out for her birthday in Seattle, and it was pretty awesome of me, pretty gangster. It's not a big deal. And I was like, yeah, I didn't even tell her. I just packed her bag. She came home. She's like, what's the bag for? I'm like, we're going out. And we went out to Seattle. And we went up to Pike Place Market. We went up to Pike Place Market, and we went around, and we saw the fishes being thrown, and we're like, yes, flying fish. That's awesome. And I ate so much just random garbage food. And we went up to this guy, and he's drawn caricatures. Is that how you say it, caricatures? And he's a quick talker. He's a smooth talker, right? And we're walking by. He's like, take a look at my art. Take a look at it. Look at it. Oh, you see all my, look at all this. This could be you. This could be you in a cartoon form, sir. I'm like, what? Cartoon Mikey? That would be awesome. I want it. And so my wife, once again, she's the frugal one out of the bunch. She's like, Mike, that's a piece of paper. He's just going to draw on it, and he's going to charge us a lot of money. I'm like, no, that's cartoon, Mike. It's worth, it's, you can't even put a dollar sign on it. You can't even put a dollar sign on it. We're going to do this. And so it said, it was like $16 for a portrait of two, $16. That's what it said, $16, portrait of two. I'm like, okay. I got 20 bucks. That's burning a hole in my pocket. Let's get cartoony, right? And so that's what we did. We went up, and he starts drawing us, and he draws me. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I go over, and I'm like, well, that doesn't really look like me. He, like, accentuates all the bad parts of my face, like my buck teeth. He, like, put, like, a big old V and stuff. I'm like, Beaver Man, you know? And I'm like, no! I don't want to be that guy! And so he made Beaver Man, and I'm like, okay, all right. And then he goes to start drawing my wife, right? And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I'm totally getting ripped off. I don't want to buy this anymore. And so he starts drawing my wife, and my wife's name is Isabel, but he starts drawing up like Jezebel, like some kind of like, you know, I'm like, oh, man, that's not Isabel. Mm-mm-mm. I can't even hang this up without, like, feeling like a perv. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Isabel, not Jezebel. And so he gets all done, and he does it in, like, 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, sweet. 17 bucks, whatever. It's just money. It's just money. I'm a baller. And so I go to pull out my wallet, and he's like, all right, 17 per person, plus tax, plus my tip, blah, 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 50 bucks. 50 bucks for a piece of paper? It's not even good, sir. Oh, man, I remember I was hot. I was mad. And this was like, that's what it said. He didn't read the fine print, babe. Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me? Woo! And so I ended up bargaining with him for a little bit for a piece of paper. I only ended up paying like 30 bucks. Oh, man. I'm still angry. I haven't even like put it anywhere. It's like rolled up in a corner because I'm so bitter. Going in a corner. Nobody will ever see the light of day, Beaver Man. You'll never see the light of day, sir. You know, my wife's beginning to teach me, and his life begins to teach me. I have to be more intentional with my money, with my spending, with my time. I have to be more intentional with my time and my finances and who I hang out with. I have to be intentional. I have to be intentional. And as Christians, we have to be intentional as well with what we're spending time with, what we're putting our money into. We have to be intentional Christians. We can't just be going to and fro and saying, oh, well, I got this little bit of time. I'm going to go over here. I got this little bit of money. I'm going to go do this. We have to be intentional. It says in Romans chapter 1 and verse, chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, present your body as a living sacrifice. Which tells me, which indicates to me that it's no longer my life. It's no longer my dollar. It's no longer my time. But it's for the Lord. It's His time. It's His dollar. And God's not up there that just demanding your money and your time. That's not what it's all about at all. He's not telling you you're going to give money. You're going to give your 10%. You're going to give this. You're going to give that. But rather, He's just up there being God. And in the same way, I want to bless my wife, not because she asked anything of me, but I just love her. And everything that I have, babe, it's yours. If you want the shoes on my feet, it's yours. Has anybody ever gone out with their wife and they didn't have a jacket that matched their outfit? And you're like, all right, fine, you're going to be cold. I know you're going to be cold, but this is my jacket. I already warned you. This is mine. And without fail, you go out, hey, babe, I'm kind of cold. I know you are. Guess what? I'm warm. I have a jacket. I pre-planned. You can also have a jacket. Go home and get one. I'll wait here. Warm. I got all the time in the world. But no, you know what I do? Every time without fail, here's my jacket. She's over there. She's like, thanks, babe. And she's all warm. I thought I made a good decision earlier. Why am I cold? It just happens. You know, whatever I have is now, it's my wife's. Whatever she has is mine. Because it's not a have to, but now it's a want to. I want to bless my wife. And the same way, everything that I have, because I love the Lord, and He's already given me so much. Lord, it's all yours. My life, my dollar, my time, everything. Jesus, it's yours. No matter what. If you guys can, turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 14. And I'll begin reading Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. It says this. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. We'll go into that a little bit more later. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And this is what we're going to be talking about this morning. For which of you intend to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? This morning we're going to be talking about counting the cost. What that entitles. What that means, what that looks like in our life. Counting the cost. Me and my wife, when I've been about last summer, we decided that we were going to build a porch. When we first bought our home, that was the one thing that we wanted to do, was we wanted to build a porch. And so what we did was begin to sit down, begin to calculate it out. How much is this going to cost? How much are we going to invest into the porch? And what kind of wood are we going to get? What kind of material are we going to get? How big do we want to make it? We start looking at all the different dimensions and all the factors and what this is going to entitle for us, partly time and partly money. What are we willing to invest into this deck? And so we sat down and we began to calculate. We began to say, what is this going to cost? What is this going to look like? How much are we willing to invest? And so we sat down, and that's what we did. We decided, you know what? We really don't have a backyard. We want to make it the whole back part of the house, and we want to make it as wide as we can. We decided that the best option was to get the most that we could because it was a good investment into the home. It was a good investment. And the same way, we sit down, we have to calculate. We have to begin to think. We have to begin to factor in. God, what? Honestly, ask ourselves, what am I willing to give? How far am I willing to go? Talks about this man and it gives a couple of illustrations where he sits down and begins to build a tower. And he has to calculate how much. Do I have enough to finish the work? Do I have enough to finish the cause? To finish the purpose? Do I have enough? In the same way, that's what we did with our porch. Do I have enough? Yeah, we have enough. We're going to go all the way with it. We're going to do everything that we wanted to do. And that's what we did. In the same way, how much are we willing to invest into our relationship with Christ? We have to sit down. We have to count out the cost. Are we willing to go give everything? Are we willing to give our time and our finances and our lives as a whole? It says, anybody that doesn't hate his brother, anybody that doesn't hate his mother, his brother, his daughter, or even his own life, he can't be my disciple. What he's really talking about is anybody that puts something before me. I don't think hate's the right word, and we'll get into that a little bit more later. But it's anything that's put before me. Anything that's put before my will for your life. So number one, we have to count the cost. And in part of that calculation, if you guys read in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 44, it says this, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells everything that he has to buy the field." We have to count the cost. We have to say, "Lord, I want that field." But then we have to also calculate in, that field is worth so much more than everything that I have combined. Everything that I could even begin to gather together. If I go to my family, "I need to get this field, Mom. I need some money. Dad, I need some money. Friends, I need some money. I need to get this field." Because everything that's inside of that field is worth so much more than everything that I have combined. He says in here, with great joy. Not with reservations. "Oh, I don't know, it's going to be kind of a risky investment. I don't know if I'm going to get my return on it. I don't know if it's really worth what I'm about to invest into it." How many know that the kingdom of God is a lot safer investment than the market currently? Anybody? Even when we thought our houses, "Oh man, houses are going up, 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 up." What happened? Oh, we were wrong. So wrong. Down. Because you can't trust in this economy, right? You can't trust in this world. You can't trust in the systems. But one thing you can't trust in is God, no matter what. It says here that this man, he saw the value in the field. He saw the treasure in the field. And he said with great joy, with great joy, with great joy, that he gave everything that he had because that was worth more. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to Jesus. No matter what you have, it's not worth your eternal salvation. Nothing in this world is worth your relationship with Jesus. Nothing compares. Nothing even comes close. In the same way, we should be like that. With great joy, Jesus, take it all. With great joy, "Lord, I surrender everything that I am to you. Because what you have is so much greater than what I have." No matter what, no matter what, Jesus is good. Jesus is faithful. So number one, you have to count the cost. You have to say, "Lord, I don't have a lot." You have to count it up. But with great joy, number two, you have to be willing to give everything. You have to be willing to give everything. You know, salvation is free. Salvation comes but in an instant. But your walk with Christ, that's really where the rubber meets the road. Your walk with Christ is really where the value is. Because why did I accept Jesus? For his things? Did I accept fire insurance? Did I accept just something, I don't want to go to hell, so I'll accept Jesus? Let me tell you something right now. It would be more detrimental to me to be away from Jesus than to be in hell. Did you get that? To be away from Jesus and everything that is good, hell doesn't even compare to being away from his presence. What do we fear more, going to hell or being away from Jesus? If you go to heaven and everything is in heaven, everything, all the streets of gold, all your big old blinging mansion, and all the harps, and all the cool angels, and all that, and the jet skis, and that's what's going to be in heaven, some jet skis. And you get up there, but Jesus isn't there. Is that enough for you? Is that enough? Do we want Jesus, or do we want his things? Salvation comes in an instant. Salvation's a great thing. Thank Jesus for salvation. But once again, thank Jesus for salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift. I don't really care about the gift. I care about you and your heart and who you are, Jesus. We have to be willing to give everything. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 25, in the Message, I love it how it says it this way. It says, one day when large groups of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned and told them, anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go, refuses to let go of his mother, his father, his spouses, his children, his brother, his sisters, yes, even his own life. I believe that's a better translation. You know, sometimes people come to me and they're like, why does the Bible contradict itself? Well, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. We just misinterpret it sometimes. I believe this is really what it says. It says, refusing to let go. In other words, putting anything before God, even one's own life. God, take it all. We come in here and we sing these songs. I surrender all to you, Lord. I surrender all to you. And those words are so pretty, and the melody goes right along with the lyrics. But is God looking at your song, or is he looking at your heart? We could come in here and say, Lord, I surrender every Sunday from 10:30 to 12-ish. Hopefully Pastor doesn't go over. I'm hungry. I surrender that time to you, Lord. Is that really what God wants? Does God want a tithe of our life? Lord, here's my 10%. Here's my reasonable service. Here's what's reasonable, Lord. Here's just a little bit. That's what's reasonable. Lord, that's reasonable. You gave me my life. Yeah, this is mine. Here's the reasonable part. Here's a couple bucks for you, Jesus. You know, I always think it's cute when new believers, or even some people that have been in church forever, sometimes they come to me and they talk about different issues in the church. One, a lot of times, is a hot and heavy subject, is tithe and offering. And I think it's cute when people get upset about tithe and offering. I say, oh, that's cute. You think God only wants 10%. That's precious. God wants everything! If it has a hold of your heart, that's what God wants. The preacher doesn't want your dollar, but Jesus wants your heart. You hearing me this morning? It doesn't matter, because guess what? Jesus owns the Cadillac on 1,000 hills. I stole that. Sorry. I loved it. Jesus owns it all. If God wants something, guess what God does? I'm God. I have it. Do you think God's movement won't go on without your dollar? You think Jesus won't go on without your buck? But what does Jesus really want? He wants your heart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world and the things that this world wants, this thing that the world puts value into, the dollar. Because once again, if we learned anything from the market, dollar's not really worth all that much. Can't really trust it. But one thing I can trust on, one thing I can rely upon, is the love of my Jesus. The love of my Savior. No matter what. Jesus is good. Jesus is faithful no matter what. You know, it all always goes back to the trust issue. It goes back to trust. When I was growing up, if my dad asked me for $5, I would give it to him in a heartbeat. If it was everything that I had. I trust my dad. I know my dad's going to pay me back. And a lot of time, he's going to give me a little extra on top. You know? And because as a child, I thought like a child. I had the faith like a child. My dad, he's good. He's a good man. No matter what, if he asked me to go mow the lawn, he's probably going to slip me a 20. In the same way, do we trust God? Or do we hold on to that dollar? Lord, I trust you, but I need this. I trust you, but I need this. Or do we surrender all to him? You know, Jesus isn't just up there that's saying, I'm demanding your dollar, I'm demanding your life, I'm demanding everything. But he's just up there being God. And I believe us, a reasonable service is just presenting it to him. Lord, whatever you need, I'm willing to go. I refuse nothing. I refuse to let go of to nothing, Lord. Everything that I hold so dearly to my heart, Lord, it's all yours, no matter what. It always goes back to trust. You know, and a lot of times people think of just finances when we're talking about giving. No, finances is just a minute part of it. The big part is your time. A lot of times the dollar represents your time, but it all goes back to your time. You know, in a job, they own your time. They own your 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. And that's not what God's doing. He's not just saying, this is mine. You need to give it back to me. And being a disciple isn't just saying, okay, here's my time. I'm going to dedicate Sunday nights doing youth ministry, Lord. Here's my time. That's not what a disciple is at all. A disciple is a mandate on your life. Guess what? Even when I'm at work, guess what I still am? I'm not just a maintenance technician. I'm a disciple. When I'm in my house with my wife, guess what? I'm not just a husband. I'm a disciple. When I'm at church with you people, I'm not just a youth pastor, but I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus, the living God. Wherever you go, remember that. If you get anything from this morning, remember no matter where you go, you're always a representation of Jesus. And we should always present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that we should always surrender all over to Him. Because Jesus wants to do something. If you're at your workplace and Jesus says, just go pray for that person real quick. Go talk to that person about this. Well, Lord, this is actually equity's time. Sorry. I'm getting paid right now. But if it's really the Lord putting something on your heart, you're a disciple always. You're always a disciple, no matter where you go. No matter where you go. So number one, you have to count up the costs. Number two, you have to be willing to give it all. And then finally, this is, I believe, where a lot of people struggle. Where a lot of Christians fall short. Number three, what you have is enough. What you have is enough. What you have is enough. God doesn't say, oh, well, you don't really have enough for tithes and offerings. Oh, you don't really have enough time. What you have is enough. I'm always reminded of John chapter 6 and the story of Jesus and how he fed 5,000 men. The story of where Jesus fed 5,000 men doesn't even include women or children. Doesn't even include the women or children. And a lot of times we focus on that miracle, right? God took just these couple barley loaves, and it doesn't even say two large fish. It says two small fish. It says two teeny tiny fish. Five barley loaves. He fed, they say, upwards of 12 to 15,000 people, somewhere in there. He fed with that. And a lot of times we focus on Jesus and the miracle, but I want to focus on one particular person. They go out and they say, the disciples say, Lord, they look in the natural once again. A lot of times we should stop looking in the natural, but we should start looking to Jesus no matter what. Amen? And so he looks in the natural, he looks around, and he says, Lord, there's so many. Somebody would have to work a year to feed everybody. One meal. And that would be like everybody getting like a bite, you know? Not even like a full meal. A year. Jesus, there's not enough. There's not enough here. But Jesus doesn't even pay attention to this disciple's unbelief. He doesn't even acknowledge him. He doesn't say, I'm going to show you what's up. No, he's just like, all right, go over there. He's like, did you hear my complaint, Lord? Did you hear my quarrel? Did you hear my worries? Shut up. And this is what I want to focus on. It says, a young boy, we should have faith like a child, a young boy presents what he has. He comes up and he says, Jesus, this is what I have. This is my lunch. It's enough for me. At that time, you know, it was poor times. That might have been his food for the week. I don't know. It might have been grocery shopping for his whole family. 5 loaves and 2 small fish. Jesus, this is all I got. And he comes to Jesus with this little bit in comparison to the thousands. Look at the little boy. He doesn't look at the thousands, but he looks to Daddy. Daddy, this is what I have. And he goes to Jesus and he says, Lord, this is what I have. And so Jesus takes it. Takes the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fish. And he gives thanks to who? He gives thanks to God. Because guess what? At the end of the day, sometimes we're going to be hungry. At the end of the day, sometimes finances are going to be a little bit tight. At the end of the day, sometimes we don't know where we're going to pay that heating bill. We don't know how we're going to pay that car insurance. We don't know how we're going to afford to get over that dumb toll bridge. What the heck? It went up again. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. I don't have a lot, but I'm going to thank God for it. Jesus, I don't have a lot, but I'm going to give it to you. And then Jesus takes it and thanks God. He doesn't say, Lord, looky, you're supposed to be faithful. You told me to come here and talk to these people, and now they're hungry. This is a joke. Ha ha, where's the rest? Hilarious, God, hilarious. You're so funny with your omnipotent self. But no, he takes the little bit and he looks up to heaven and he thanks the Lord. And guess what happens? I love the word. I believe that everything in the word is there for a purpose. Every word, every T, every dot of an I, it's all there for a reason. And it says that not only did he feed the multitudes, but there was an overabundance. He said, go out with these 12 baskets and go fill up the rest. What? How? From the start, we didn't have enough to fill up one basket. Now we have enough leftovers to fill up 8. What I believe, personally, I believe there were still 2 small fish. Nobody likes fish, so they just kept passing that around. Like, yeah, I'll take the bread, but... Yeah. So that was like 12 loaves of bread. And the fish, they're like, yeah, here's 2 fish. Gross. We're poor. But we're not animals, okay? That's gross. That's just what I believe. That's how I interpret the scripture. Getting all serious and dumb. But anyways, Jesus. And so Jesus, he takes it and there's an overabundance. Now with the small boy, he could have sat down idly off to the side and looked around and said, I don't have enough. I'm not even going to waste my time. I don't have enough. This is almost a joke. But rather, he goes to God and he presents it to him. He goes to God and he says, Lord, I don't have a lot, but it's all yours. You know, Jesus, do you think Jesus could have done the same miracle with 2 barley loaves and 1 fish? I believe he could. I believe Jesus could. He's Jesus. He could do whatever he wants. I believe he could have. And in that fashion, he could have gave the 2 to Jesus and the 1 fish, and he could have fed the multitudes, and then that little boy could have still been secure. I still have a meal for tonight. But Jesus required all of it. Jesus required all of it. Does it really matter that it was 5 barley loaves? He could have done anything with anything. But Jesus required all of it. And because of that, the multitudes were fed. When was the last time you gave an ouch offering? When was the last time you gave something that hurt? When was the last time that you gave time that you didn't have? When was the last time somebody called you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, well, I need to get up for work tomorrow. This, you know, business hours are closed. Or do we surrender all to Jesus, no matter what? All to Jesus. All to him. Because God could do so much more than we could ever do. When I go and work on something, if somebody's an expert, like let's say I go to work on a heat pump. I work on heat pumps every once in a while. And if somebody comes over to me and says, I'm an expert in heat pumps, take it. You fix it. In the same way, Jesus is an expert. Jesus is perfection. Jesus is perfect. Lord, take it. You fix this problem. Lord, I don't have a lot of finances. I don't have a lot of time. You take it. You take it all, Jesus, and you do something with it because I know you are the perfecter. You are perfection, Lord. And you could do something with it. Jesus could do something with it. In Luke chapter 22, and this is where I'm going to be ending. Luke chapter 22, it talks about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It talks about Jesus and how he went out. You know, a lot of times, the disciples would get up in the morning and Jesus would be gone. He'd be off praying, be off seeking the Lord. I don't know, for me, that'd be kind of like nerve-wracking. Every time you're like, the Messiah is gone! Oh, no! Every morning they wake up and he's gone. He's off praying, off seeking the Lord. And once again, that's what happens. Jesus is off by himself seeking his Father. And Jesus, being the man that he is, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, he's scared. He's overwhelmed. It says in the Word that he is so taken and he begins to sweat blood. Well, that actually means he was so emotionally overwhelmed that the blood vessels in his head begin to pop. That's how much stress and anguish Jesus was under. And then Jesus, praying, he says, Father! He says, Abba, Father! Daddy, Daddy! God! He cries out to his God. He cries out to his Father. And he says, if you can, take this away from me, Lord. Many of you, you've been in that same prayer closet. Lord, I can't bear anymore. Lord, I can't take it anymore. The bills are piling up on top of me. If I have to deal with my wife one more time, I'm out, I'm done, I've had it. I can't handle it. I am at the end of my rope. I can't handle anymore. I have nothing left to give. This is where Jesus is at, where many of you are at even today. Lord, I'm at the end of my rope. I can't handle anymore. It's just too overwhelming. I can't take it any longer. And many of us, that's where we stop. Jesus, I'm done. I'm out. I trusted you. Where am I at now? Jesus, I've trusted you. I can't even have a successful marriage. I'm a grown man and I can't even pay my bills. Lord, I trusted it in you. That's where many of us stop. Lord, I can't even afford to fix my car. Are you even there? And we get so overwhelmed, we're so taken back by things in the natural, much like that disciple. Lord, there's so much. There's too much. We can't even begin to meet the need. We can't even begin to meet the need. We can't. But Jesus doesn't even acknowledge it. When we go to God and say, Lord, I can't bear it anymore. There's too much. Don't even give thought to the natural. Because this life is but a vapor. Before we know it, we're going to be with Him. And it's going to be perfect. And I'm not trying to say that life is awful, and then you live it, and then you die. That's not what I'm trying to say. I love life. I love being at church. I love fellowshipping with other believers. I love being with my wife. I love life, but it's all perspective change. And I believe that it's just, you're just trusting in God no matter what. I can always be happy with my wife as long as Jesus is the forefront of it. I can always be happy at church even when you guys are being dumb. It's cool. I can still be happy as long as Jesus is always the forefront of it. So Jesus is here. He's crying out, Lord, I can't take anymore. That's where we a lot of times stop. But Jesus shows us the perfect example. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. If you guys would be so kind as to stand up with me where we get to begin to close. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, I just want to talk to some people that you've counted the cost. You've looked to Jesus for a miracle. You looked to Jesus for that, even that bill being paid. This morning, I just want to pray with some people that are just, that just need to surrender all to Jesus. That need to surrender all to Him. And you want to make a declaration in this place. But first, I want to talk to, you might be here for the first time. You've never met Jesus. You never encountered His presence. I want to pray with you. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, with every heart open, I declare that in the name of Jesus. Every heart open. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, whether you've said the prayer 1,000 times or you've never said the prayer before, if Jesus isn't currently the Lord of your life, then you need to make that declaration. I want to pray with you. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to pray with you. I need you to do the bold step, though. I need you to pop up your hand. Is there anybody here this morning that needs to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Anybody at all? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be ending in mere moments, I promise. If there's anybody here that needs to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, this is important. Anybody at all? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And then finally, I just want to give the call for the word that went out this morning. If there's anybody here this morning that's just, you've been struggling. You've been having a hard time believing in Jesus. You've had a hard time believing in His word. You've had a hard time believing. And you just want to declare with your life, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. It doesn't seem like I have a lot, but Lord, it's all yours, no matter what. Jesus, I don't have a lot. I but have just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but Lord, it's all yours. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to make that declaration, I want to pray with you. I just need you to pop up your hand. We're going to pray with you. I see that hand in the back. Is there anybody else here this morning? I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. Is there anybody else here this morning? I see that hand. Glory be to God. Glory be to Him. Is there anybody else here this morning that needs to make Jesus the Lord and Savior? I see that hand in the back. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is going to do some awesome things with you. I promise. And then finally, if you guys can, if you popped up your hand or you didn't and you just want prayer, come on up front. I want to pray with you. Real quick, come on up front. We're going to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to you, God. Glory be to you, God. Come right up front. I promise we're going to end in mere moments. God's doing something. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No matter the cost, Lord, I'll go. No matter the cost, Lord. Lord, I've tallied up the cost, and what you have is so much greater than what I have. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to you, Lord. Anybody else here this morning? Anybody else? Thank you, glory. Glory be to you, God. Glory be to you, God. Glory be to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray over these people. If you guys can, pray with me. I promise we'll end in a matter of moments. Begin to pray, prayer warriors. Begin to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Jesus, that, Lord, we heard your word, and it didn't fall on deaf ears. I declare that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that it fell on good ground. And I thank you right now, Jesus, that that word, we take it and we run with it. Lord, that no matter what, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, present your body as a living sacrifice, because I promise you,
what's the value in that field is so much more than we could ever value in this life. And Jesus, I declare right now over each man and woman and child in this place, Lord, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Lord, we truly know what it means to be a disciple. We truly know what it means to be holy and devoted to You, Jesus, no matter what the cost, Lord. Lord, that we see what we have, Lord. It seems like not a lot, Jesus. But Lord, I praise You that we present it all to You, Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that You could do a miracle with a little. But I thank You, Jesus, You could do so much more when we present our bodies completely to You, Lord. Our hearts, our souls, our mind. And I declare that in this place, Jesus, that we will be radically rocked for You, Jesus, no matter the cost. Glory and honor be to You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for what You've done in this place. I thank You, Father, as we go out, that we are the salts of the earth. We are the lights of the world. No matter what, Jesus, we search for You. We seek You, Lord. We thank You, Jesus, in Your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. We love You guys. You guys be blessed.